I'm sitting on a chair in front of a desk in a room where I can see outside. I can see through 4 different windows. This is just a short introduction to a piece of music that we're going to listen to afterwards by the American composer Alvin Lucier. The piece is called I Am Sitting in a Room, which was first composed and recorded in 1969 in the United States. Earlier, I've been thinking about this piece since the beginning of the confinement here in France, and I tried to do an introduction several times. So I thought about doing the introduction inside a greenhouse that I've been building, which has a lot of sound going on in it, plastic blowing in the wind, insects, cars going by, and so on. I tried also in a bathroom and also in front of my washing machine. You can say I'm spoiled for choice with the spaces why I wanted to make this introduction. Suffice to say that each time I tried to do it, I was not satisfied by the recording. And so this is a new attempt, another repetition of the same exercise. So in these previous introductions, I wanted to find a way of linking the work of Alvin Lucier to a piece of my own work, however minor it is in comparison to his. So in the year 2000, I was invited, one of the first exhibitions I was ever part of, I was invited to this exhibition in which was held in Bangkok in an art gallery called Tadu Contemporary Art. I was invited by a group of French artists to participate in this exhibition, which was called Keep Your Distance, which is certainly something that resonates in today's current climate. And for this exhibition, being young, I was very eager to make new work, and I conceived a piece that had been inspired, having seen a work by Michelangelo Pistoletto called 1 meter cube of infinity, which is 6 mirrors that face in on each other, forming a cube held together by a sort of rope or string. And so the piece is like an invitation to imagine a space that is infinite, which is held within a limited space. And I remember having seen this piece, which I think I saw it in Marseille. I was very excited by this piece, and I found it a very stimulating piece to see. And from that, it led me to thinking about making works with mirrors. But then, of course, such a piece is kind of, somehow it cancels out many other possibilities, as so often great artworks tend to do. It got me thinking about the idea of repetition and time, and how we think, and how sometimes thoughts sort of turn in on each other or resonate in the head for a long time. So the piece that I made for this exhibition, Keep Your Distance, was called Present Progressive, and it consisted of, physically in the space of the exhibition, 3 television monitors and VHS players facing 3 audio cassette players playing sound. So on the TV monitors, what could be seen was me sitting at a table, filmed from behind, speaking into a microphone with a recording device on the table. And so the video was a recording of an audio recording. there was a visual recording of an audio recording. So the audio recording consisted of me repeating a different question, three different questions, which were then presented on the televisions. I'm not sure if this is very clear, but you'll get the picture. The first question that I asked myself was, do I have time to think? The second question was, do I know I am thinking? And the third question was, actually, I can't remember what the third question was now. Do I have time to think? Do I know I am thinking? And what am I thinking was the other question. So the idea of my piece was that I would repeat for an hour, for the duration of a video cassette, a mini DV video cassette, the duration, the same question over and over and over. So do I have time to think? Do I have time to think? Do I have time to think? Do I have to, and so forth. So this was recorded onto a mini disc, which was then transferred onto an audio cassette of 1 hour, and in the display of the work, the visitor could walk between a monitor and a cassette player, and then another one, and another one, and in a sort of corridor. They were just placed rather casually on the ground of the gallery, and so the overall effect was a sort of cacophony of sound, where if you wanted to hear what was being said, you had to lean in either towards the TV to where the image was of me speaking, or conversely on the other side to the cassette player, and so each question was thus was repeated constantly for an hour, but was also repeated in space through another medium on the cassette player as well. And so each question was doubled up, and then there were also three questions. So in total, there were six sound sources, and three visual sources and three audio sources, but in total six sound sources that created a sort of overall resonating impression that really filled the whole space of the gallery, much to the annoyance of the other artists, I think. And in this exhibition, I won't talk about it now, that I also made two other works which also had sound components, which were also very repetitive, insistent, and irritating, I think, especially to other artists, but such is the way of things. And so why am I talking about this as a means of presenting the work of Alvin Lucier? Only to say that somehow at the time, in the year 2000, I had never heard of Alvin Lucier, and I didn't know anything of this piece. And perhaps if I had known of his piece, I Am Sitting in the Room, perhaps I would have not felt the necessity to make the work that I made, or indeed would have felt that my work was too derivative, or had no need of being made. When you hear such a work as the piece of Alvin Lucier, it's such a brilliantly defined and structured work that it seems that other works that somehow may approach it or have something in common with it, something to do with repetition, something to do with sound, something to do with resonance, something to do with taking time, and time and space somehow mixing together, and being also demanding of the ears of a public. That's how I wanted my work to be seen or understood. And I think that his piece, I Am Sitting in a Room, is not unlike the piece by Pistoletto in some sense. It comes close to a really perfect masterpiece of work. I hesitate with words like masterpieces. I know they're very dangerous, but so let me tell you a little bit about the piece, and then we'll listen to it. The piece consists of the voice of Alvin Lucier, which is recorded reading a text, which begins by saying, "I am sitting in a room different from the room you are sitting in now. The sound of my voice will I can't remember exactly, and I don't really want to say it because we will hear it in a minute." He reads this text where he describes the situation in which he is precisely, and he then goes on to describe what he's going to do and what is subsequently going to happen. So after he reads the text, and the text itself says this, he then plays the recording that he's just made back into the room in which he made the recording, and he does this over and over again until the effect of doing this re-recording and replaying back into the space each time the subsequent or previous version of the recording is that after a while his voice the words he is saying can no longer be heard, and what the words the sound of his voice is a sort of it becomes a trigger for a means of capturing the resonance of the space in which he is. As you can hear, I'm in a room that has other sounds going on and is also has its own particular resonance, and no doubt if I had the possibility I could probably attempt to make this piece again as well. And that's one of the interesting things about this work, is that it somehow proposes itself, even though there's a definitive version with the voice of the composer himself reading out the text and then performing the action of re-recording it and replaying it and so forth. In some sense, it invites you to think about what it would be to do it, and perhaps to do it, whether you will succeed or not is another matter. It's not so complicated, but it's a little delicate to do. So it's a piece that offers itself to reflection and thought of to the listener, and it also has a kind of magic in that after a certain time, we can no longer hear his words, but we hear this incredible sort of undulating sound which is the sound itself of the room, which is like a sort of, almost like a magic or sort of conjuring or magic, conjuring up the specific sound of a particular space. A little bit like the piece by we might think of the famous piece by Bruce Nauman of the space that. Under a chair, concretized into a block. So the piece of Alvin Lucier, which is roughly the same period at the end of the 60s, those concerns and those thoughts are already there in place, and they belong to that period of music and art history. I'm losing myself again, but it. Well, there was something else I wanted to say, and now I can't remember exactly what it was. We should probably listen to the piece, and I should probably stop talking. Unless I have something else to say, what would it be that I would have to say? Resonance spaces. Just to conclude, perhaps I could say that, of course, this notion, this idea of sitting in a room, a confined space, we can think of whatever it is, the space that Alvin Lucier finds himself in, and the notion of resonant spaces. Perhaps it's a cheap way of thinking about today's current situation, and we're just beyond the the time of confinement. But all the same, this notion of millions of people or even billions of people stuck in specific circumstances in particular places, enclosed in a given area in a defined zone, sometimes more comfortable than others, some no doubt sometimes extremely uncomfortable, I have no doubt. Perhaps people have been experiencing the resonances of their spaces, or hearing the sound of the fridge as it, or the hum of electricity, or the noise outside, or the neighbors next door, and so on. And asking themselves the questions, what are they thinking? What are they doing? Coming to terms with their current situation, seeing what's happening. And we can thank Alvin Lucier for having made this beautiful piece of work quite some time ago, but indeed still resonates today. And so now I am sitting in a room by Alvin Lucier from 1969. Thank you.
I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have. Sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again. Thank you.